pray.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Once grace that taught my fears freely. How precious did that grace be. The hour I first believed, through many dangers, taunts and snares, I have already come. Disgrace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me
Roger Sherman, signer of the Declaration of Independence, said, "Sad will be the day when the American people forget their traditions and their history, and no longer remember that the country that they love, the institutions they say that they cherish, and the freedom they hope to preserve were born from the throes of armed resistance to tyranny and nursed in the rugged arms of fearless men. America would be spared a thousand evils if its people would lay the axe to the root of the tree. When we fail to do this, we give permission to the branches, the airs, which only begin to thrust out the truth which it works against. This is the responsibility of the Protestants, and it is the modern-day Protestant that believes what is not taught in the Bible. They practice ordinances that are not based off of scriptural authority. Away with the commandments of men, and down with the traditions that make void the laws of God." Charles Spurgeon.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker. Boat rocker.
Good day, America. Welcome, Christians, conservatives, constitutionalists, liberals, libertarians, communists, Islamists, LGBTQers, TV, WXYZ people, all the boat rockers in the house, and anybody else I may have missed, to the Sons of Liberty radio show, where we use the Bible and the Constitution, not to see who's on the right or the left, but who is on the straight and narrow. I'm your host, Tim Brown, coming to you live in the U.S. occupied state of South Carolina, the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com, and for Muslim friends, I'm the infidel that Allah warned you about to hold to the book, the Bible. As the authoritative word of God, glad that you guys have joined us this morning or this afternoon. If you'd like to check us out online, please do so. sonsoflibertyradio.com, also sonsoflibertymedia.com. In fact, if you're listening by way of the radio and you want to watch the video portion of the radio show, head over to sonsoflibertymedia.com. There's two videos at the top of the page. The one on the right side is this morning show. We had the Common Core diva Lynn Taylor on with us talking about the bills that are being passed and how they are creating good little socialists. Good little communists, actually, in the United States of America. Yep, they're still doing it. If you'd like to catch that, you can do so up until 6 o'clock in the morning, which, Lord willing, what time we're going to be back with you. On the left side of the page, I know you guys on the video platforms, I don't know why, but it didn't change over. The proper videos there, but if you go over there, you'll see it correctly. That's where we're at. Click on the play button, blow it up whatever device you got. Look for the Rumble icon. It'll be in the bottom right-hand corner. Click on that, and that'll take you over to the chat. We've got a lot of friends over there on Rumble. Our channel, Sons of Liberty Radio Live. Good afternoon, guys. Good to see you. And while you're there, please subscribe to that channel. We're also on beforeitsnews.com, top of the page there. DLive.tv at The Sons of Liberty. And a good afternoon to you guys as well. Those of you who are tuning in, listening for Bradley Dean, this is my last day filling in for him. Some of you are happy about that, I guess. I don't know. But he and his family either should be on the way home today or first thing in the morning. And then he should be with you, Lord willing, tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel, right? He should be on then. This afternoon, I was going to talk a little bit about something different. I was going to hit on this big, beautiful bill. I'd gotten some other stuff, so I want to take my time with that just a little bit. I did want to, and I did it this morning because of the show we did just 2 days ago. We were talking about the Emoluments Clause. And I got some people who pushed back against that. I appreciate people who disagree. That's fine. And I had one person, I don't know if it was a man or woman, but, you know, they disagreed with me, and it was a respectful disagreement. Hey, this was going on. This, and my problem was I probably forgot to add the particular thing I was pushing at in the first two, which was the issue of bribery. And I don't see what people don't see. I really don't, especially the report that I played this morning. I don't have it up, but this morning where now there's going to be Qatar. Listen, Qatar is going to be investing $10 billion in U.S. military bases. Yep, the country that gave that plane, they're going to be investing in our military bases. Now, why would they do that? And why would they be allowed to do that? Then there's $96 billion, and I understand there's parts that are made in Qatar for these Boeing planes and all this other. We could easily do that ourselves if that's what we wanted to do. We really could do that. I don't know why we don't do that. But in essence, $96 billion in plane purchases. So, I see the bribe going on. And you can say, well, somebody gets a benefit or somebody doesn't or whatever the case may be. Again, I think any of these gifts, Congress, it just seems wise for the people to have a say-so in what they're going to receive from what countries, and Qatar is one of those. In any case, not going to be talking about that today. We're going to be talking a little bit about debt today. And, you know, it's interesting because one of the things that you read over in Deuteronomy chapter 28 is, you know, it references debtors versus lenders. For instance, when you go through the blessings of the Lord in verse 12, it says, "The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in the season, to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow." So he's pretty clear about what he's laid out here, and that's part of a blessing. But then he goes down just a little further, and verse 15 he says, well, if you don't observe all the commands and his statutes, then there are things that come upon you. There are it references curses. There are things that come upon you. And the disobedience of the people towards the commands of God. Now, as best I can see, there's no command that says, don't enter into that. But it's saying that this is going to be a curse of it. And so, verse 43, here's what we read. "The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed." I mean, these are some serious things. And debt is one of those, this idea of constantly borrowing. And you're borrowing from the stranger. You're borrowing not from your fellow countrymen, you're borrowing from the stranger. So it's a pretty serious thing, and this is one of the curses that God has given. Is all debt sin? Is it sinful? Not necessarily. For instance, if you go over to 2 Kings chapter 4, you'll find there's a widow there. And her husband's passed away, her sons have been lost, and now she's in debt, and there's a threat of, you know, pretty much losing whatever she has. She's done. There's been no evidence of sin there. It's just this was a situation that happened. And so, but for most of us, if we're honest, most of our debt either lies in something that, one, we didn't prepare for, or couldn't prepare for, or two, things of the world. We've accumulated a lot of quote-unquote wealth or things or stuff like this, but we're in debt. And I think of a lot of people that we would know who we would say are very wealthy. The only thing is they're so poor, the only thing they have is money. And what I mean by that is even when you see a lot of these movie stars and musicians and famous people, you'll often find they leave a trail of debt, and you're going, how did they do this? Well, we're going to talk about that in this hour. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Hang on, we'll be right back.
Wisconsin Christian News, a 48-page national newspaper unlike anything you've seen before. Hard-hitting commentaries, politically incorrect, vital news and information you can't get anywhere else. Get a free sample copy. Email rob@wisconsinchristiannews.com and mention the name Bradley Dean. Caution, side effects of this newspaper for liberals and evangelifish include, but are not limited to, uncontrolled fits of rage, weeping and wailing, and the urge to curl up in a fetal position in a safe space in your mama's basement.
Hello, friends. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. Did you know that George Barna's research group recently found that after surveying pastors from across the country, that less than 10% of them preach out against the issues that they know that they should address? And when we look at the said representatives in the halls of government, well, need I say any more? Are we as a nation ready to take responsibility for righting the wrongs? Join us Friday, March 21st at 6 p.m. at Jack's House Bowl. Hope to see you there.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Hey there, this is award-winning international journalist Alex Newman. We live in a world dominated by fake news, lies, manipulation, and it's just out of control, folks. Our country is in big trouble. Our churches, our families, we need honest journalism today more than ever. And that's why I founded Liberty Sentinel Media. I hope you'll visit us today at libertysentinel.org, where you'll get access to exclusive content exposing the threats to our faith, family, and freedom while equipping you to fight back. Go to libertysentinel.org today.
Peter Marshall, chaplain of the United States Senate from 1902 to 1949, he said, "The choice before us is plain, Christ or chaos, conviction or compromise, discipline or disintegration. I am rather tired of hearing about our rights and privileges as American citizens. The time has come, it now is, when we ought to hear about the duties and responsibilities of our citizenship. America's future depends upon her accepting and demonstrating God's government." Abraham Lincoln was right when he said, "In regards to this great book, the Bible, I have but to say it is the best gift God has given to man. All the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for it, we could not know right from wrong. All things most desirable for man's welfare, here and hereafter, are found portrayed in it."
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. All right. Genesis chapter 3. Let's just go there. I just want to show you something I found very interesting when I was going through some passages on debt, how the Bible uses debt, how it speaks about wages, how it uses the whole idea and the concept of money in some of the things that it communicates. And one of the things is right out of the gate, there in Genesis chapter 3, this is what we read. "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Now, when you look up this word here for beguiled, you'll find that it is a Hebrew word that is... I'm on the wrong page here. Sorry about that. translated in some as "the serpent deceived me" or he beguiled me. And we all understand what that is, but there's something a little further there that I discovered. And when you get into it, it's not just this. It has the idea, obviously, of leading astray, deceiving, seducing, things of that nature. But I also noticed that the word is also used for debt or to make one a debtor. This comes from the New American Standard Exhaustive Concordance, and it has that kind of an understanding. And it's kind of interesting because when you go over to the book of Romans, what do you see there? The wages of sin is what? Death. Now, what was Adam promised in the day that he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Death. You'll surely die. That was the wages, the payment of what was going on. Okay? And that's because Adam would incur a debt, would he not? Yep, he would become a debtor. And so he would be given his wages, which would be death. Okay? Now, keep that in mind, because we'll get to that in just a moment. But I wanted to throw that out there first thing. One of the things that we also see is, well, it's not one. There are several things. Let me give you just a couple of examples of how debt is spoken of in the scriptures. For instance, Deuteronomy 15:1. Debt is to be released. It is not to be perpetually carried out for people. There's to be a time to release that. In the nation of Israel, it was every 7 years. They would cut off the debts. Why? Well, we see the same thing. You're going to see where people just, they can't even survive in that kind of environment where it's just constantly debt on debt on debt on debt. And of course, God had told them, you don't charge your brother usury either, right? You don't charge interest. Hello. And you know what? I've heard Christian men just go right against that and say, oh, well, you just don't charge exorbitant interest. No, you don't charge usury, period. That's it. You don't charge it. And God said so. But that debt is to be released. 1 Samuel 22:2, those who were in debt, they came to the king, right? They came to David. 2 Kings 4:7 tells us that we're to pay our debts. In Nehemiah, we're told to forego the exaction of every debt. In Proverbs 22, we're going to look at that quite a bit here. Verse 6, do not become guarantors for debt. In other words, don't go co-signing for other people. We're going to see what Proverbs has to say. Proverbs 22 has several things to say with regard to that. We're going to look at that in just a second. In fact, let's just go over there right now. This is Proverbs 22. Look at verse 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He's a slave to the lender. He is his master. And I am one, you know, I learned these things somewhat later in life, and I've been communicating those to my children because I'm like, you need to learn from Dad. Don't do this. Don't make these mistakes that I did. And I have seen them learn to be those who save. They are those who can give to others. They have it quite in abundance quite often. But they did learn that. Praise God, they learned that lesson. And a couple of them have taken on some debt due to house. I wish I could go back and train them in that too. Build your own house. Think about, do it different than the way the society leads us. You got to get in debt for, you know, however many thousand dollars to build a house when you could probably buy the land, save up the money to buy the land you're going to be on, and just build your own house. Build it out of the wood that God gave you. You know, you've got all kinds of things today I didn't have when I was a young man. You can pull up a video and watch a guy build a house, literally build a house in 2 days. With his bare hands, by himself. Something you could live in. But in this, we see the rich rule over the poor. Let me ask you something. How many of those guys in D.C., whether they're politicians or whether they're at the Federal Reserve or whatever they're in, and they're the ones making decisions that affect our lives, how many of them are considered poor? In fact, if they are considered poor when they get up there, they're usually not considered poor when they leave, are they? No. And this is a general kind of thing. It's a proverb. Usually the people who are ruling over others are in this world wealthy. Okay? They have a lot of resources that they can pull from. Proverbs 22:7, there is a commentary by Matthew Henry. And if I may indulge you just a little bit to listen to the points he has from this one verse that I read you there from Proverbs 22:7. He says, we should be more careful to do that which by which we may get and keep a good name than to raise or add unto a great estate. Did you get that? We should be more concerned with what he's saying is our good name should reflect the glory of God, not a building up of an estate. And again, you can see all through Scripture, there are men who were wealthy in the world. I mean, even Abraham was very wealthy. Job was wealthy. David was wealthy. You see all kinds of godly men whom God made wealthy. Solomon, all this that you can read, that you can see God blessed them that way. And some men weren't blessed in that way. Yet they were still godly men. God can do what he wants to do with each of us. And so whatever situation we find ourselves in, whether we're, you know, like Paul said, whether we're destitute or whether we're without clothing or housing or whatever the case may be, learn to be content. And if we have all those things in abundance, be content with those things. But anyway, we learn to be content. Why? Because it is the Lord who gives us all that we have anyway. So if you have a lot, you're to give thanks unto the Lord for that. And if you have a little, you're to give thanks to the Lord for that. You're somewhere in between, same deal for you. Okay? He says, divine providence has so ordered it that some are rich and others poor, but all are guilty before God. And at the throne of God's grace, the poor are as welcome as the rich. Faith foresees the evil coming upon sinners and looks to Jesus Christ as the sure refuge from the storm. Where the fear of God is, there will be humility, and much is to be enjoyed by it, spiritual riches and eternal life at last. The way of sin is vexatious and dangerous, but the way of duty is safe and easy. He says, this shows how important it is for every man to keep out of debt. As to the things of this life, there is a difference between the rich and the poor, but let the poor remember it is the Lord that made the difference. That's exactly right. It's the poor that makes the difference. It's the Lord that makes the difference. So when we look at these things and we read these passages like this, this is a general kind of consensus that goes on in all times, in all places, that these kinds of things happen. Now, I was watching this video. My friend Charlie, who's been on the show with me in the morning, we were having a little conversation this morning, and we were talking about this documentary. And I'm going to play just about a minute of this documentary where this guy's talking about the monetary system. And I'll do that on the other side of the break. So stay with us, sonsoflibertymedia.com, sonsoflibertyradio.com. See you in a minute.
Have you ever listened to someone speak and have felt completely captivated, basically unable to look away and hanging on every word? The kind of speaker whose passion, knowledge drives and stirs something deep within you, making your heart race and your mind question everything you thought you knew? Well, if so, you're in for a wild ride. This show isn't for the faint of heart. It's actually for the bold, the thinkers, the patriots, and the truth seekers who care to face these uncomfortable realities. Welcome to Sons of Liberty Radio with Bradley Dean. It's a show that will challenge you, awaken you, and make you see the whole world in a new way. Bradley is a force of nature, uncompromising, fearless. He's ready to rock the boat. It's time to tune in to find out why this program is shaking up the airwaves and sparking conversations everywhere. Don't miss out. Visit bbsradio.com/sonsoflibertyradio. And discover why Bradley Dean is a true boat rocker.
Martin Luther King Jr. rightly stated, that I must admit, America, that I was initially disappointed in being so categorized as an extremist. But as I continued to think about the matter, I gradually gained a bit of satisfaction from being an extremist. Was not Abraham Lincoln an extremist? This nation cannot survive half slave and half free. Was not Thomas Jefferson an extremist? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. So the question is not whether we will be extremists, but what kind of an extremist we will be. We will be extremists for the preservation of injustice, or will we be extremists for the cause of justice? He goes on and says, history will record that the greatest tragedy of this period of social transition was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747 and start making a difference in your world today.
PBSRadio.com.
A republic versus a democracy? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We are a constitutional republic. We are not a democracy. E. Stanley Jones said, grace binds you with far stronger cords than the cords of duty or obligation can bind you. Grace is free, but once you once take it, you are bound forever to the giver and bound to catch the spirit of the giver. Grace makes you gracious. The giver makes you give.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. Halftime here. And again, if you're tuned in and you're wondering where Bradley is, he will be back with you guys, Lord willing, tomorrow. He and his family will be traveling home either today or tomorrow. I forget which one they're coming in, but he should be with you tomorrow. I'm Tim Brown. I'm the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com. And we're talking about debt. It's a cruel slave master. Somebody's asked in the chat, can we view taxation as a curse? Because we had a conversation. There were some things about taxation. Any kind of direct taxation laid on somebody is a threat to life, liberty, and property. It is. If you're a person trying to flatten the line, if you're trying to be Herman Cain with his 999 approach and all this, that's direct taxation. I don't care if you say it's fair or not. It's direct taxation on the people. You say, well, didn't God tax people? And well, he demanded a tithe, but he didn't have people going in and saying, hey, go take that person's house if they didn't pay the tithe. He just said he wasn't going to bless them. And you remember when the people, they were not taxed. When they came in, remember, they told Samuel, give us a king like the nations around us. We want a government like they have. You know, we're tired of this God that we don't see. I mean, we've seen him do things, but we want to look just like them. Now, I don't know why you'd want to do that when your God has shown himself strong in the face of your enemies and the nations around you and brought you into the land he's brought you in. But these people did it. And they wanted to do that. And what did Samuel tell them would happen? He said, he's going to tax you. He's going to take your stuff. He's going to take your sons and he's going to take your daughters. So if you want to call that blessing, knock yourself out. But I view that as something other than what it is. Okay. All right. This is a little documentary I'm watching. I'm not advocating for it just yet. But I have listened to this guy, Ken O'Keefe, and there's several things I really appreciate about what he says. And he's not afraid to say it. But this is just the beginning of this documentary. I want you to hear how he talks about the monetary system and how it gets used against the people. Check this out.
It is very clear that the head of the snake is the financial system. The whole point of finance is to indebt, otherwise to enslave. What is a mortgage? I mean, what does that stand for? It's a death grip. So when you get a mortgage, you have a death grip held over you because you are in debt. You don't even own the house. The bank owns the house that loans you the money to buy the house, unless you're fortunate enough to have all the money to buy it outright. And even then, you can be taxed by the government. And if you fail to keep up with those taxes, the government can then take it from you. The whole system is based on a financial fraud, which effectively takes the power that we have and it gives it to a tiny group of individuals who are running the world through the control of finance. With the infinite supply of money that we have allowed them to take, they have literally an infinite supply of money. And with that money, and from their psychopathic point of view, they have bought everything and everyone who can be bought. So those of us who cannot be bought, because we operate on a level that goes way beyond the material, we are not rewarded for such behavior. We are punished for such behavior. And the most slovenly, disgustingly criminal, pedophilia, corrupt moral individuals, those are the ones that are rewarded in this system, which is upside down. We reward the pedophiles. We reward the corrupt. We reward the liars. We reward the people with no morals at all.
Okay. All right. You get the idea. And he's right on. I don't know of anybody who would disagree with that. That's not what we're supposed to do, but that is what we're doing, in fact. And he was laying that out. This is, you know, the ones who are driven to the money. It's right out of Proverbs 22:7. It's the rich who rule over the poor. They're the people who are bound up in the money system. And it is a money system. We talked the other week about the love of money is the root of all evil. Most of us have to encounter money at some point in our life, even if we're trying our best to live off-grid, right? We encounter it on occasion. The Lord Jesus did. He had a money bag. We talked about Judas the other day and the fact that he was a thief and he was pointing, that ointment could have been sold and given to the poor, but he said it because he was a thief and he had the bag. He had the money bag. And he was robbing of those ministry funds that were part of the Son of God's ministry. So we see all these things kind of building up, and then we see the monetary structure that comes in. Again, this is, if this doesn't show it as individuals, which all of us are bound up in all of this, we really are, I don't know what is. This is your national debt clock. And if you were listening this morning to Miss Lynn, when she was talking about the budgets that are coming out, the big, beautiful bill and all of this other stuff, the amount, I mean, our government is spending money by the billions that they've not yet appropriated for spending. They're already spending it by the billions and they haven't even appropriated it yet. And look at the national debt, almost $37 trillion, $37 trillion. Now, I want to ask you something. Does that make you a blessed nation or a cursed nation? I'm asking you to answer the question. Oh, but you don't know we're getting tax cuts. Yeah. And you're $37 trillion in debt. Oh, but we're gonna get a check back for all the money it's saving. Yeah, and you're $37 trillion in debt. The games the politicians play with us, I don't understand why people don't just take a step back, take a deep breath and say, what am I getting sucked into? What have I been pulled into all my, what have I been indoctrinated by these same players all of my life? Well, that's just at the national level. And again, you know, Deuteronomy 28, speaking to the people as a nation, God said this is what would happen to them. But it starts as us as individuals, doesn't it? You know, the Bible teaches us in Romans 13, 8, that we're to owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Was money used to show love for others? Yeah, if you go over into the book of Acts, you'll find that, you know, as the new believers there from the day of Pentecost, as they were sort of outcast by the society because no longer were they going to be involved in Judaism, they were going to follow the way. They were going to follow the Lord Jesus and his teachings, right? Because he was the fulfillment of all those things. Those guys would take those who had lands. They understood from the words of Jesus in the Olivet Discourse that Jerusalem was going to be turned into nothing. I mean, it was just going to be flattened. The Romans were going to come in there and destroy it, and they were going to come in there in that generation. And what did they do? They said, well, this land's going to be basically worthless. Let's sell it, and let's take care of our brothers. And what does the Bible say? They took the lands, the ones that had them, and they sold their land, and they brought it to the apostles, gave it to them to distribute as there was need. We also see later on that love was demonstrated later on in the book of Acts when they called forth the deacons, the servants of the church, in order to take care of the widows and have, you know, daily things that took care of them, food and supplies, and make sure they were okay. All that stuff costs some money, costs somebody some time, and they would do that. So there's not something intrinsically evil with money per se, but debt is part of a curse. Now, with that said, let me go over here. There are other things that the Bible has to say about that. And it takes the money situation and the debt situation, and it, while we see it in the physical, there's a spiritual aspect to that. For instance, over in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord taught his disciples to pray in a certain or after a certain manner, not necessarily to pray these words, although they probably did that. Many of us still pray these words out loud. But it was like a model for them to kind of form their prayers to. And among those words that are uttered in that prayer, this is what we hear: "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Some of you may have learned it: "Forgive us our trespass as we forgive others of their trespasses against us." Or if you go over into Luke's gospel where he's laying out the prayer, he uses the word sin instead of debt, and those who have help us, or as we forgive those who have sinned against us. So I think you can kind of take a lot of this together. In fact, we have Jesus giving a parable about a guy who's so far in debt, he can never pay it. He's a servant. He's so far in debt to his master, all he can do is throw himself on the mercy of the master. And even though he knows he can't pay it, he says, "Have mercy on me and I'll pay you all that I owe." And the master's moved with compassion on him. And what happens? He forgives him of all his debt. And what does the guy go out and do? Does he rejoice and proclaim the praises of the master? Nope. He grabs his fellow servant who owes him a little bit of money, and he grabs him by his beard and he's like, "Pay me what you owe me." And the guy goes, he does the same thing. "Have mercy, you know, on me. I'll pay you what I owe you." And the guy's like, "That's not good enough." Takes him off to prison. And when the master finds out about it, he's really ticked off. And he gets that guy and he throws him in the debtor's prison until the last penny's paid, which he can't pay back. This is going in the spiritual realm of where we talked about, started in Genesis chapter 3 there. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com. Final segment coming up. Hang on.
Content Christian Media Conference is hosting a one-day event on Monday, February 24th at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. It's one amazing day of fellowship, networking, screenings, panels, and inspirational keynotes. There'll be breakouts on filmmaking, storytelling, writing, distribution, and more, with lunch included. It's perfectly timed, just before the start of NRB.
Register at ChristianMediaConference.com.
This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBSradio.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Per your request, if you're looking for unique and creative ways to spread the gospel and give people the gift of truth in a way it'll be received, then check out the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. There's something there for everybody in your life: books, DVDs, t-shirts, coffee mugs, even graphic novels, dog tags, and more. Young or old, you're sure to find the perfect gift of truth. Again, go to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com and check out our store today.
BBSRadio.com.
The annual Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Conference is set for April 4 and 5 in Wausau, Wisconsin. Learn more and get your tickets today at WisconsinChristianNews.com.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. We're talking about forgiving debts. And again, you know, I'm just going to tell you what the guy was saying about a mortgage. I get it. I really get it. It's an albatross around your neck. You say, well, we got to have shelter. Yeah, you got to have shelter, but you don't necessarily have to have something that's mundo expensive, do you? And if you really think about it, the Lord has given us all that we need, Peter says, for life and for godliness, and that includes trees, right? You know, those who came before us were just fine cutting down trees and slapping them together, make their log cabins, or milling them and using lumber with it, and there was not the amount of debt that there is now. Now, a lot of it is based off of inflation. And again, you see this national debt clock. People can tell me there's not that everything's going down. They can tell me that all they want to, but you need to understand something. You can continue. They can manipulate the pricing and all that. Your dollar's still worth squat. It's lost almost 99% of its value since it was introduced in 1913 with the Federal Reserve. It's lost that. That's where your inflation is, the devaluation of the dollar. And if you don't believe me, just go back in the Weimar Republic. Go back into communist Russia. You'll see how their money became utterly worthless and why. Banksters. Now, I know some people are not going to like this, but the fact of the matter is you had those guys engaged in usury. And at least in communist Russia, you had a lot of the guys who called themselves Jews and are not, who were the ones leading that. In fact, there is a famous quote by a Jewish man that says, I prefer to call communism what it is. It's Judaism. It's that carrying out of that. And you wonder why these people were the way they were and why Jesus opposed them so heavily, these religious hypocrites that he had there, that he was constantly calling a brood of vipers, snakes is what he called them, as to what they were doing and how they were ruling over the people that way. Well, what did Jesus say? Well, he taught that we should pray to be forgiven of our debt, our sin against the Lord, because that's what we pile up is when we sin against the Lord, whether it's from the heart, from the mind, from the mouth, from the hands, however we're sinning, we pile up a debt. And that debt gets paid with judgment. The wages of sin is death. That's what it is. And Jesus says that we should be praying that God would forgive our sins just as we're turning, and in return, not being like that nasty servant who was forgiven a great debt he couldn't pay back and went and got his fellow servant and threw him in jail because he owed him a little bit of money. Not like that. That's not gratitude for having been forgiven. But we forgive others in the same manner that God has forgiven us. In fact, that goes on. Matthew 18 is a great example of verses 27 and following. You see the forgiveness of sin, the forgiveness of debts, as it's put. In fact, you can begin to see who's been forgiven a lot, can't you? Luke 27, beginning at verse 42, it says, he who is forgiven much loves much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. Now, we can talk about the particular things that we've had as far as debts in our life. Mortgage is one of the big ones, at least for me. It's one of the ones I recognize that I needed a place. And by the way, for what we had, we got a really great deal, especially when I'm looking at what some of my children have to look at as far as cost. It's like, wow, what happened? Well, it's the devaluation of the dollar. That's part of what's going on. And it doesn't matter. Look, I don't blame it on the president. I would more or less lay it at the feet of Congress that they didn't stick to gold and silver as payments for debts. I would lay it on Congress over and over and over and over. And then I would lay it back on us and our fathers and their fathers who allowed them to do it, to bankrupt our country. And now we're playing, our money is debt money. It's not real money. That's why we call it fiat. It's by decree. It's not by law. It's by decree. Oh, they put something in there that kind of looks like law, smells like law, but it's not law. Pretended law. Because the law says Congress may coin gold or silver for debts. Period. That's it. That's all they may coin. Not pieces of paper. Not certainly not IOU notes. They're not authorized to do it, but they've done it. And it devalues our money. It makes others wealthy, at least materially. It makes them that way. And so this is what Ken was talking about. He says, you know, those of us who love the truth, we operate at a different thing. It's not for the basis of money. Money's kind of this, I don't want to use the term necessarily evil because I don't necessarily think it's evil, but it's this thing that we have to deal with. And sadly, the temptation is to go into debt rather than save or do these other things. And again, I understand there are certain circumstances that happen where debts are incurred. I mentioned 2 Kings chapter 4. There are certain instances where things like that happen to where, you know, you got to deal with that. I recall there was a film done by some home educated young people. It was really well done. If you can see it, you ought to watch it. It's funny. It's got music. It's really good. It's called The Widow's Mite, M-I-G-H-T, not M-I-T-E like in the scriptures. And the whole idea behind it was she was a widow. The city was gonna try to tax her house to get it out from under her, to put an interstate through or something like that through there. And the people, the community, young men found out about it and said, nope, we're going to help this lady. And so they really put the pressure on the representatives, the mayor of the town and all this other, and to the point where they understood, wait, this doesn't look good on us. We're just going to forgive that. You're not going to owe any taxes. That's what they ended up coming. But it was because other people loved that widow enough that they went and stood up for her. And you see the debt piling up now. You can have a mortgage. You can pay it off. And what happens? They still want to tax you. And if you don't pay the taxes, they'll come and take your house. Does that sound moral to you? Does that sound godly? Nope. Because even in the scriptures, if a man gave his cloak as collateral for his debt and while he's working, the Bible says that you're to give him his cloak back at night. So he'll have something to sleep in. He can give it back to you in the morning. Did you know that? Yeah, that's how that collateral would work. But all these things are things that we see in the physical. Jesus begins to talk about debts that are in the spiritual realm. Colossians 2:14 says that Jesus canceled the record of debt that we owed. How did he do that? He nailed it to his cross. We talked about this on Sunday. When he had finished his work as the Passover lamb, what did he do? He cried out, "It is finished." What does that translate to? The debt is paid in full. You get the rubber stamp. It's paid in full. What debt? The debt that sinners owed to a holy God. A just God who cannot wink at sin. He can't look at it. He doesn't want to stay in the presence of it. And Jesus took that albatross of sin from around our neck. He took it off of us and he put it on himself in order that he might be the real redeemer, the one who buys us back from the slave market of sin. Because he said, if you submit yourself to sin, that's going to be your master. You're a slave to it. But if you submit yourself to righteousness, you're going to be a slave to righteousness. You're going to be a servant of righteousness. And here's what happens. Most people desire the debt. They desire the debt. Look at what we get put into. The whole spirit of the world, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. Boy, I mean, it really comes through on these things right here, doesn't it? These little smartphones. It really comes through that. It comes through on the computer. You're hit with it every day. I know I am, and I'm not even really looking for it. You're hit with that all the time. And it says, buy me, go into debt, spend that money that you don't have. It's all right. You can work for it and pay it off later. And you get caught in that stuff and you can't, you get to a place where you can't make payments. You don't have money. You have to try to go get something else. You have to remortgage your house. You see the people doing it all the time. Why? Because they've not learned. And then when you see the spiritual, when you confront them with that, you have to say, you got to leave the world behind. You got to repent of that mindset. You got to turn from it. And they're like the rich young ruler. They walk away sad because they got a lot of stuff. Friends, your stuff is not worth hanging on to face the wrath of God. It's not. We need to practice in the physical and the spiritual, being out of debt and owing no man nothing but to love them. We'll see you in the morning at 6 a.m. bright and early. Talk to you next.